I hope you have that blessed assurance today, and if you don't, I'd like to talk to you about that sometime. So feel free to contact one of our ministers or our shepherds or someone that you know here that can help you along that path and that journey. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. We're in the midst of a series of lessons that look at summary statements in Scripture, those little tiny statements or maybe small passages that give a summary of what it means to follow God, what it means to live a life that is pleasing to Him, a life that will help us to have that blessed assurance. Jesus does that as well in a few places. We started with His greatest and second greatest commandments. Today we're going to go back to the Gospels and we're going to look at another summary statement that Jesus makes. Here's what it means, He says, to be my disciple. In Luke 9, verse 23, He says, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If you want to be my disciple, Jesus says, that's what it looks like, and that's what it means. These summary statements are all, because they're summary statements, they're general. There's not specific applications there. There's not a list of do's and don'ts, thou shalt and thou shalt not. But one of the things that I hope I remember to say a few times today is, I think we all know what those are. I think we all know if we're doing what Jesus says here or not. I think we know if we're denying self or if we're indulging self. I think we all know if we're taking up our crosses every day, if we're doing the things that we know that God wants us to do, even though it may not be something that we want to do at that moment, or that we're not doing the things that we want to do because we know God doesn't want us to do that. We know that that doesn't honor Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so we put those things on the cross and we deny ourselves and we follow Him. As Cameron led us in that wonderful time of gathering around the table together and remembering the great sacrifice of Christ and taking us back to the days of Jonah and looking at Jesus and His world and the people that were trying to find an excuse to not do what He's telling us to do. Give us some sign. Let us see something tangible. Let us have something concrete. And Jesus says, well, yeah, you'll see a sign. And Cameron took us there again in 1 Corinthians 15. That definition of what the gospel really is, that Christ died for our sins, that He was buried for 3 days, and that He was raised from the dead. That He appeared to people so that we would know that this word is true. And Jesus says, that's really all you should need. If you're looking for more than that, you will never be satisfied. If you can't accept this call by faith, you will not ever accept it. Because this call is not one that is based on tangible, concrete things that our five senses can really apply to. Now, I think those things give it credibility. None of those things deny the reality of what Jesus has done and what He has called us to do. But if we're looking for that, we'll never have enough of that. But if we're willing to hear Jesus say, deny yourself, take up your cross every day and follow me, and we truly believe that He died on that cross for our sins, that He was buried for 3 days, and that He was raised from the dead, and that that tomb is empty, and that He will come back, then we'll do everything we can to fulfill these words of Christ. Matthew and Mark also share this story. Luke broadens it out a little bit. But only Luke is the one who says every day, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. I do want us to turn to Matthew 16, however, and that is the chapter that we'll center on to try to get this whole story and the whole context of what Jesus says as Matthew, Mark, and Luke record it. First of all, Jesus asks, "Who do you say that I am?" It's one of those questions. God is filled with them. Have you noticed that? He asks us questions not so that he can find out information he doesn't know. And that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve had sinned and God is there and he calls out to the man, "Where are you?" Like he didn't know. Oh, he knew. But when God asks questions like this, he's asking them for our benefit, not his. And so as he's among his disciples, as he's here in our presence today, he asks, "Who do you say I am?" Doesn't start there, but it gets there. Matthew 16, beginning at verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Verse 15, "But what about you?" Jesus said, "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Now, Peter is, he's always bold, not always right, but never in doubt. And here's one of those times where he's not in doubt, but he's also right. He speaks out, and Jesus even affirms, "Peter, there's a little bit of Holy Spirit working in you on this one, my friend. You're the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the one we've been waiting for since the days of Abraham, 2,000 years ago. You're the Savior. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. Who do you say I am?" And today, as we think about these three things, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow Jesus, this is where it should start with this question. Who do you say Jesus is? And if you are willing to answer honestly, who do you really believe and say that Jesus is? That will affect how you respond to his call to deny yourself, take up your cross every day, and follow him. Because if you don't believe that Jesus is who Peter says he is, you will not be able to do that. You will give in to self. But if you truly believe that, then it should matter how you live. It should matter the choices you make. Who do you say I am? The passage continues, and Jesus promises, "My church will never be destroyed." He makes that transition from himself as the Messiah to the church that he is about to die for. The discussion goes on in Matthew 16, beginning at verse 17. Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Well done, Peter. You're right. And you had a little help, but you're still right. I am the Messiah. And upon this rock, upon this firm foundation, that I am the Son of God, that I am what you confessed I am to be, I will build my church, and the very gates of hell will not prevail against it. No matter how much it's threatened, no matter how much it's challenged, my church will be victorious. My kingdom will last. We think back to the days of Daniel and the days of the exile, and there before the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar and his crazy weird dream with this odd statue with different parts, and no one can interpret it. And Daniel says, well, there's a God that can interpret it, and he can tell you your dream, and he's shared that with me, and I'll share it with you. And he talks to him about kingdoms. The Babylonian kingdom, the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians that will replace it, the kingdom of Alexander the Great and the Greeks that will replace it, and ultimately the Roman Empire. And what Daniel says in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, in the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. Now, lest we think of this as a physical kingdom, let's remember Jesus' interaction with Pontius Pilate, the civil authority of his day, the Roman governor, when he was about to be crucified, and Pilate had the authority to say thumbs up or thumbs down on Jesus and his life. Ultimately, thumbs down. But he discusses about the kingdom with Jesus, and he acknowledges, Jesus does, that yes, I have a kingdom, but it's not like yours. It's not like the Roman Empire. It doesn't have boundaries, and it's not a physical kingdom. It's a spiritual one. If it were physical, then believe me, I'd have people here fighting for me, and you would have no power, but you've been given authority by the one who sent me. But my kingdom is not of this world. And that's the same kingdom that Daniel was looking ahead to. That's the same kingdom, the church, that Jesus said, I am building, I am establishing upon my death, burial, and resurrection on the very words that you spoke, Peter, that I am the Messiah, that I am the Son of God. And there's nothing that will destroy that kingdom, as our wonderful shepherd shared in that great, great prayer earlier. There are things that threaten God's kingdom that are secular, that are of this world, and we get that, always have been. Sometimes they rear their ugly head in stronger ways than others. We seem to be in one of those periods. But this we know, and this is why we have that blessed assurance. They cannot win. It may look like it sometimes, but the gates of hell will never prevail against the kingdom of Christ, against his church. Because it is an eternal kingdom. It is a spiritual kingdom. It is one that transcends boundaries. It is one that is found in every nation, in every tongue, in every place. Tonight during our prayer devotional, we'll be sharing and asking for God to bless our nation, to help us during this very critical and important time. Not because our nation is the kingdom of Christ. It's not. It never will be. We certainly don't want state-sponsored Christianity, unless, of course, it's exactly like I believe, and then I'm good with it. We could never have that. We would never want that. But what we want is for the kingdom of Christ to be able to prosper in the midst of this secular nation. And so we're asking God to help bring that about. What we do know from this book right here is that even though the civil authorities threaten and come through on their threats, they cannot destroy the kingdom that is built on the rock, the spiritual kingdom that Jesus established with his death. Jesus promises, my church will never be destroyed. Next, in Matthew 16, Jesus says, here's what it means to be the Messiah. Peter has just said that he was. What does that mean? Jesus says, well, what it means to be the Messiah is I die. I die. And that doesn't make sense to us. Verse 21 of Matthew 16. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, who are supposed to be the good guys, by the way, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised back to life. Verse 22, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. And I want you to know today that too many times I'm right there with Peter. No, no, no. No, 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 that's not it. Let's not talk about denying self. Let's not talk about crosses. Let's not talk about following you to the grave, if that's what it takes. No, 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 that should never happen to you, Lord. And Jesus calls him out in the strongest of terms. Get behind me. And what did he call him? Get behind me, Satan. Peter, right now, you're doing the work of the adversary. He's been trying to thwart this mission all along. Do we? For the sake of whatever it might be. Do we thwart that mission to deny self? To be willing to take up our cross every day? To follow Jesus, whatever that means? Or do we, like Peter, seek to soften the blow? Oh, no, 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 you don't mean that really, God. You don't mean that really, Jesus. It's okay for me to do this. I know it's wrong, but it's okay. It's okay for me not to do this good work because I'm tired or because I've got other interests or because I've got other obligations. Do we really believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do we really believe that Jesus is the Messiah? Do we really believe that the tomb is empty? Do we really believe that he's coming back? Because I can tell you, no matter how we answer that question, if we're not willing to deny ourselves, take up our crosses every day, and follow Christ, we don't. We don't, really. Because if we did, we would. And there would be nothing that could stop us. Get behind me, Satan, Jesus says. But he doesn't just tell us what it means for him. Jesus states, here's what it means now to be my disciple. Matthew 16, beginning in the next verse, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. And what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? And I think sometimes what we want to do is gain the whole world. Starting with our family, starting with our community, starting with our job, starting with our school, starting with our friends, starting with our country. And Jesus says, as important as all those things are, they're not the kingdom. Because here's what the kingdom requires. To deny self, not indulge self. Not, as Wade shared, to go off on crazy directions that people, not just the church, God's people, the Jews, but most civilization have said that's not right. Jesus says you've got to deny yourself. Take up your cross daily, as Luke says, and follow me. Follow him where? We know where his journey ended, didn't we? We know that. It ended with the ultimate denial of self, the giving of his life. We're not required to do that in this country, thankfully. We pray that that will never happen. We also acknowledge that there are some people right now who are meeting in secret behind locked doors, just as they did in the first century. Because if the authorities knew about it, they would kill them. But we're not asked to do that, at least not right now, not in this room, not for most of those that are watching and worshiping with us today online, but we are asked to do other things. Are we willing? What are you willing to give up? Because Jesus is number one in your life. Time, pleasure, friendship, money. Again, I think we all know if we're doing that or not. And I think Jesus doesn't have to be specific here for a couple of reasons. Number one, we're all different, and so our lists look different. But number two, he doesn't have to be specific, I think, because every single one of us know. And none of us is doing this perfectly. I get that. But let's not use that as an excuse to not do it at all. Let's be willing to commit to denial of self rather than indulging self, to taking up our cross every day and following Jesus on that path to Golgotha, to Calvary, the place of the cross. Here's what it means to be my disciple. Again, this reminder from Luke 9, deny yourself, take up your cross every day, and follow Jesus. What does that mean for you? I think you know. And if you're having trouble with it, then talk to me. Talk to one of our shepherds. Talk to one of our ministers. Talk to your Bible class teacher. Talk to your friend who shares your convictions. Somebody who can help you verbalize this and think this through and talk this out and say, am I on the wrong page here? Am I truly following Jesus? Am I truly his disciple? I think we all know. And as hard a passage as this is, as hard a call as this is, Jesus promises it will all be worth it. It will all be worth it. Oh, you may not be the captain of the team, or you may not be the star of the show, or you may not get the job promotion, or you may not have tons of money in the bank, but it will all be worth it in spite of what you give up. How do you know that, Bill? This last verse we'll read, Matthew 16, verse 27. For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they've done. God sees and he knows and he will not forget. And he's a just God, and he treats us with mercy and grace because he looks at us, and then he looks over at his son, and he says, are they with you? And he says, yes, yes. That person is my disciple. Oh, they didn't follow me perfectly, but my blood covers their imperfection. Because they were willing to believe in me so strongly that they would deny themselves. They would take up their cross every day, and they would follow me. He paid the debt he did not owe. I owed the debt I couldn't pay, and now I sing a brand new song. What? Amazing grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay, and because of that, where he leads, I will follow. I will follow Jesus every single day. This morning, if we can help you do that, come as we sing and stand.